Why don't we pray and then we will read our Bibles. God, thank you for being good and kind and loving and giving us these moments that we can huddle together indoors and read your word. And thank you for the incredible beauty and majesty that we see outside before our eyes, your power on display, your creativity. You are the ultimate, and we worship you. Now, as we read your word, I pray, God, that you would make it into our hearts, and you would transform us, and you would make us become more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, flip over to 1 John 3. Let's start one more week the same way we started the last couple of weeks, at least last week. So 1 John 3, verse 10, starting out with what we've been saying the last couple of weeks, which is the text is very, very just emphasizes over and over again, you got to love, at least if you're a child of God, you have to love other people. Not optional, it's what God's children do. Look at verse 10, 1 John chapter 3. By this it is evident, so known, who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Skip to verse 14. For we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. It's how we know. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. If we are God's children, we have to love. It's part of who we are. It's part of what God has made us, God's children. Love other people. And so then last time we asked a question, and today we're going to ask maybe even a better question. Last time the question was, who do I have to love? And then today's question is, and you might know the answer already, so just hang with me. We'll read together. But today's question is, what does it mean to love? So what is it if we have to love other people, if we have to love each other, if we have to love the people God puts into our lives, what does it mean to actually, how do we love them? What does it mean to do that? How do we fulfill that command? The text today is going to tell us, give us the answer, and it's an answer that we need because of what we just read. We have to do it, so we should know what it means to do. And it's an answer that we need to find in this text because we frequently get it wrong. When I say, what does it mean to love? Maybe we can logically come up with the right answer, but the way we actually feel, what our hearts tell us in quotation marks, what we think love is as we go through life is many times mistaken. We think that love is something that we merely feel, that it is defined almost entirely as a feeling. So we say, I feel love for that person, or I don't feel love for that person. We see this with romantic love, don't we? I'm in love. I feel it. It's a feeling, or not love anymore. Don't feel it. And then, you know, there's a breakup call that's going to be coming. And we think that love is, we assign love to the category almost exclusively of feeling. It's feeling good with other people. How do you know you're loving? Well, do you feel good with the people around you? Do you feel warm inside? And do you feel loving? Do you not have problems with anybody? Do you not have like bitterness and brewing, you know, bad stuff, enemies and whatnot? If you feel good, see, because we think that feeling love is primarily an emotion, how we feel, then even when we don't help people, even when we don't give, even when we don't, you know, arguably treat people the nicest, we don't necessarily feel that we're lacking in love. I mean, I'm a bit of a jerk, but I don't feel anything bad to you. I'm not confessing this as an example. I don't feel bad. As long as I don't feel bad towards you, it's like, we're okay. I mean, yeah, I am not nice to be around, but I'm okay. We're okay. I don't feel anything bad. I could say I love you without really actually doing anything for you, because love is almost exclusively defined as a feeling. So I wish you the best. I hope everything is well with you. I be warm and well fed. Right? And if, assuming you have food at home, will be one of those things today, right? Well, I'd be warm and well-fed. I hope I don't have anything against you. Wait, have I done anything for you? Well, no, but I mean, we're good. I'm okay with everybody. I don't feel bad towards anybody. I hope everybody is well in life. We think that love is feeling something good or not feeling bad towards people. And when we think that in that way, we're mistaken, because that's not the definition of what love is. The text actually tells us what, it answers the question. It tells us what it means to love. It actually answers the question in two ways. It does the negative first. It says what love isn't, and then it says what love is. So let's do that, and we'll look at what it says here, what it means to love. So first of all, the opposite of love. 1 John 3, look at verse 12. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one, murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, if the world hates you. See, if you want to know what, it's as if John was telling us, if you want to know what love isn't, that's not the song title, right? I want to know what love isn't. But if you want to know what love isn't, look at Cain. What did Cain do? He was bound up. He was eaten up with jealousy and envy, and he killed his brother. He that's what love isn't. And the opposite of love is damaging. It's hurting. It's killing. It's taking from someone. It's exploding in anger. And then look at how he references indirectly envy, because that's why Cain killed his brother. Then the next verse he talks about hatred. Those are emotions that are hurtful, that damage people. So the opposite of love is actions and also emotions that are damaging. It's envy, it's bitterness, it's hatred. And side note, he says that's what you should expect from the world that you live in. If in fact you are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven and you live amongst citizens of another kingdom who have another Lord who don't pledge allegiance to your king, you should expect to receive the opposite of love. So don't be surprised. Now continuing, damaging, hurting other people isn't love. Love isn't trying to hurt people. It's not feeling something against somebody. That's the opposite of love. And then he flips to the other side and he shows us what love actually is. So look at verse 16. He takes us to the gospel, because the gospel teaches us what love, shows us what love is. Verse 16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. So it's as if John were saying, okay, if you do want to know what love is, if you want to know what it means to love somebody, look at the cross. That's what love is. By looking at Jesus on the cross, we can know what love is. We can know what love looks like. We could know, in fact, how we can love other people, what it means for us to love others. Christ gave his life, not just on the cross, but from the time he left glory and came to earth and put on flesh and lived his life in service of others. He was giving his life. And then as he hung on the cross, through all of that, he was giving his life. Philippians 2, he was giving of himself. He was giving his life for us. That is what love is. That's what John is saying. That's what it means to love. That's how we, in fact, love other people, by doing what Christ did. That's the big idea from this text. And so this is not the longest thing to get your mind around. This is also probably not the longest sermon, but I wanted us to just pull this big idea out of the text and just look at this, because it's such an important idea. Loving is giving your life for other people. That is the answer to our question, what does it mean to love? It's giving your life for other people like Jesus did. So break that up. It's giving time. It's giving attention to the person in front of you instead of being, oh, that's going to mess up the recording. Instead of being impatient and all, It's listening instead of always constantly breaking into a little monologue about what I'm doing in my life. It's giving money and physical things like clothes and food and beautiful plants. It's being good humored, good natured instead of angry. It's being happy for other people instead of feeling that jealousy and envy. It's looking to put other people up, so at work, giving other people opportunities instead of me having to always have the top slot. It's forgiving instead of seeking vengeance. That's what love is. It's giving. And then the example that he used, Jesus giving his life, his entire life on the cross for us, that means it's giving. Love is giving, but it's giving at great cost and personal sacrifice. It's not just, got a little extra, I'm feeling into giving. It's giving of ourselves, and it's giving of what we have. Once I give you my time or my stuff or my attention, I don't have that anymore. I'm focusing that on you, and that's a sacrifice. It's giving on what we don't have to give, and it's giving it for other people. Did Jesus die for God's glory? Yes. Did he die? Did he die to fulfill God's plan? Yes. Did he die to defeat the forces of Satan, sin, and death? He did. He gave himself for us. He gave super. That's such a horrible word to use. Incredibly sacrificially for us. So it's giving. That's what love is. It's giving great personal cost for others, for their good. Look at verse 17. But if anyone sees the world's good, If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? So look at this combination of heart being open or closed and giving or not giving. See, John is putting together two things here. He's putting together heart, or at the center of our emotions. He's putting together feeling, which is what we assume love is, and it is, but it's not only feeling. So he's putting together feeling and actions. So, yes, you read this and you say, well, love is an emotion. That makes sense, because if the opposite of love, if Cain is hatred and envy, those are emotions. They resulted in actions, but they're underlying emotions. Then the opposite of that, love, of course, would be emotion. We know it's an emotion. We know love is an emotion. It is an emotion. It's not closing your heart, so it's opening your heart. That's emotion. But it's an emotion that produces actions. It's not closing your heart. It's having genuine emotion, so it's both at the same time. It's emotion and actions. Those both together are the components of what make love love. It's in order for love to be love, it's not just feeling something. It's not just doing something. It's feeling and doing, because without the heart, without the emotion, your sacrifice is just cold actions. And without the sacrifice, without doing the thing, without giving and being and doing, and your feelings aren't real. In order for love to be love, it's emotion and it's doing. It's love is evidenced in action. It produces actions. It's seen in what we do. So I can tell my kids I love them all day long, and maybe I feel something in my heart, but my love is seen in what I do, by my actions, by your action, by our actions. You can know that love is there. You can know that it exists. And isn't it? I cut so many other verses out of this, and I'm going to put them into our home group studies this week, which does us no good in this moment. But so my mind went at the beginning. I think I mentioned Philippians 2. It went to here it goes to James, and I know James is talking about faith and works, But it's such a similar concept, isn't it? It's, you know what love is. It's not just feeling something. It's feeling something that produces sacrificial actions for other people. We see the love of God on the cross, and we know that he loves us because he put his son on the cross. We see our love for others by what we do for them. Verse 18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And I think this underscores this idea there isn't a neutral ground where I can say I'm loving as long as I don't hate and kill you, as long as I don't try to do damage to you. I could say that I'm loving even if I'm not actually actively, proactively showing my love to you. Love is not just the absence of bad feelings, and it's not just the presence of good feelings. It's not enough just to feel it. Love is showing. It's words and deeds. It's showing in what we do, and it's showing by our sacrifice. And we know this because when you think in your mind, what is a good parent, or what is a good spouse, or what's a good friend? Well, you know what that looks like. They feel love, and they are always sacrificially showing love to the people, to the object of their love. And that's the way we should be with everyone that God puts in our lives and who crosses our paths. So I just said that's what we should do. And now I'm going to say, well, what's the application? Well, obviously that, but let's make it a little more specific. I think there's two specific applications that come out of this text. The first application is, we should receive the love that God gives us. Look at verse 16 again. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. We should receive that love, because before you have entered into Christ, before you've given yourself to him, you are outside of that love. You're outside of the love that he gave on Calvary. And you enter into that love when you give yourself to him, when you repent and are baptized, when you accept him as your Savior and your Lord. And if you never made that decision, he invites you today. In this text, he holds up his love and he says, this is how much I love you. Receive my love. And when you do, you receive the forgiveness of your sins. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in this community, when you say, I want that, I want to enter into Christ's love for me, tell someone. You can repent. You can be baptized. Also, the second application is we should love. That's what the text directly says, right? We should love others the way Christ has loved us, especially for those of us who are Christians. We have received this incredibly sacrificial love. We should love other people the same way. So, what does that mean? I can't tell you exactly what it means. This is where we have to follow the Spirit's leading as we leave here today and as we live our lives this week. And there are moments. So every time that somebody enters into our life in this week, whether it's physically they enter our life or they're like right in front of us and we see them and we're talking to them, and maybe Zoom, maybe in person, but either way, they're physically there, or maybe they just enter our thoughts and God prompts us with their name, with the thought of them. Okay, every time somebody enters our lives in this week, that is an opportunity to ask ourselves, how can I show them love? How can I love that person who's in front of me the way that Christ loved me on the cross? Give sacrificially. How can I love this person in this moment? What does it mean in word and deed to love this person? And then, as we ask that question, we should do whatever the Spirit brings to mind and whatever he guides us to do. That's what we should do. And now we end, not yet, we don't end yet, but as we come to the end, we get to just rest on the great love, the definition, the thing that is the definition that God says, this is what love is. It's my son on the cross. What Jesus did for you and I, we get to just rest on that for a moment and have a moment of silence. And then as we pray, as we take the bread and we pray and we take the cup, we get to remember how incredible that is. Read this verse again and let this verse just be in your mind and in your heart as we take communion today. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. That is the most glorious reality that there is. But we forget how incredible that is. And so every week we gather together, we take bread, remember Jesus' body, we take the cup, remember his blood. And as we do that, we are to be in awe once again. And we are to say, wow, he loves me. That is incredible. He loves me that much. He gave of himself for me. And we are to thank him. That's why we're silent as we do it. We're thanking him in our hearts. We're to praise him. And we also are to commit ourselves to love other people in the same way that he loved us. Let's pray. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that even as you command us to love other people sacrificially, what you hold up as the definition of that, the example, is what you've given us. So God, out of the overflow of that, of looking at Jesus on the cross, may our hearts overflow in worship in this moment. And may our lives as we go through this week overflow in sacrificial giving and loving of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.